right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you here tonight as Terry Stoltz is joining us as Glass has the night off. Terry, thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
Taking your phone calls as always at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We've got golf's third major starting, well, deep in the morning here, about 1:30 in the morning our time. It's going to be teeing off in Scotland at St. Andrews. We'll talk a little Open Championship here in just a little while. But there is some news on the diamond and on the hard court as the All-Star weekend concluded last night with a good All-Star game and one of the best home run derbies on Monday night that I think we've seen. New format, new things going on there. But before we get there, we do have, as I mentioned, some hardwood news both in Bloomington and up in Indianapolis. Pacers making some moves to talk about. But before we get there, news coming out today or yesterday that James Blackman Jr. had surgery for a meniscus injury. I did not see more details on that, to what exactly that was. But in the offseason, here's a guy that, you know, he had to be reminded, I think, you know, when you watch during the course of the year, just how easy shooting and scoring came to him. It was streaky, but when it came in bunches. Set some records here for the things that he did as a true freshman, shooting the three and scoring, certainly one of the top 10 or 12 guys in the Big Ten scoring. But Terry, I mean, you're going way back. You were a shooter. You were a guard. The meniscus, you know, to me, it seems like you see these injuries in the NBA and guys go from maybe becoming slashers to more shooters. How much you think a meniscus is going to bug a guy like this when he is a shooter mostly to begin with?
I don't think it's going to affect him much at all. He's probably, for one, still getting stronger and still growing, maybe not height-wise, but bulk-wise. This is an injury that some people have operated on and are back in 2 weeks. You know, this is something that's happening right now, and he'll have time to be in the weight room more and build himself up more, not to mention just working on his knee. I think he'll be fine. I mean, you're talking about a 19, maybe a 20-year-old kid, and I think that's mostly it was done during a defensive drill. He just planted, felt something, you know, at least, you know, he stopped, he got it looked at, and boom, you get it fixed. If you're going to have a knee problem and a surgery, meniscus is the one you want because it seems to be the quickest to come back from.
Especially over the summer when you've got several months.
Yeah, he's, you know, got it happened in mid-July and he's still got August. And Coach Green and the, you know, the basketball operation talking about him being back in September when they're all back, start practicing again. I don't think it's anything to worry about at this stage right now. Let him be at home and rehabilitate it and come back stronger than ever when school starts.
Finished 8th in the Big Ten in scoring and 80% free throw shooter, 6th in three-pointers. He was obviously the second leading scorer on this team. And coming back, again, a lot of guys coming back to this team. Plenty of time, as you mentioned, not the significant injuries that maybe you see sometimes. I mean, any injury is significant, but not the real damaging ones, I suppose. So plenty of time to go here. But, I mean, do you think it does anything with your shooting, or is it already – is it something that's small enough, you think, where the strength is that he was already working on to get better anyways was going to be something now he just has to kind of reverse just a little bit and pick it right back up?
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably take him a while. Anything to do with your knees, it's probably more psychological than the physical part. Again, you know, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, but the meniscus would be what, if it were me wanting to have James Blackman or Yogi
ligament,
or anybody rather than a ligament, ACL, MCL, any of that stuff. Let's do with the little meniscus tear. And he's in such tremendous physical shape anyway. I don't think we'll see anything from it once he gets back out on the court and figures out, oh, I'm okay. I mean, he'll be fine. It's going to be psychological.
And, you know, it seems like a small blow, but it is interesting to watch, you know, coming into the season because as well as he shot and as good of a scorer as he is, This is a kid that, I mean, there's no question his defense needed some improvement. He did manage to get on the boards. I mean, he wasn't the best rebounding guard we've ever had, but I thought he did a pretty good job of being around the boards, doing a pretty good job with the ball. He wants to get better ball handling. It's an exciting season for him because he already saw that he can score. If he can add enough defensive presence to it, again, doesn't have to be a shutdown guy, but enough of a defensive presence and a ball handling. This team's already got a couple ball handlers, but his, it's 6'3", 6'4", whatever he's coming in at, ball handling is going to be crucial for him at the next level.
Absolutely. And the thing is, let's look at anybody else. If we continue to play three in the backcourt with Robert Johnson and Yogi and Blackman, I mean, that may be the best big backcourt in the Big Ten right now. Yeah. I mean, if I start looking through at who's coming back other than Michigan, I don't see there's any way that a lot of people have going to have more experience, the scoring, explosiveness. I mean, if James, I mean, the defense – my gosh, yeah, we don't have to talk about that. If he can't get her there, he's in trouble. But, the thing I liked towards the end of the year, he started driving the ball more. He's obviously a good free throw shooter, so we love to get him on the line. But, this is a big year for him. I kind of think that he's going to stay two more years. That's just my personal opinion, because we're still going to be a very good team again even the year after. So we'll see. But, yeah, I agree with you. This is a big year coming up. We've got a lot of guys back and a team projected top 15, top 12, going to be high in the Big Ten, we hope.
And if he improves, again, driving to the basket with that shot, I mean, that could only help. And as you mentioned, getting the free throw line, big deal here too. Got to take a quick break. We'll stay on the hardwood, though, talk about some of the Pacers' changes in the offseason when we get back from the break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Dave, we want to thank the Williams Brother Healthcare Pharmacy. They're a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 South Landmark Avenue. Williams Brothers is committed to creating customers for life. Thank them for this segment.
Programming note, of course, it is the All-Star break in Major League Baseball, so the Reds are off for a little while. We'll have them back, however, this weekend, Friday, Saturday nights, 7 o'clock, as the Cleveland Indians come to town. And we won't talk just yet about maybe the Reds having to go through a fire sale or wanting to go through a fire sale. First, we'll head up the road, up Route 37 to Indianapolis, as the Pacers are continuing to put their team together. And, of course, drafting Miles Turner, he has now been signed in the middle. Luis Scola, David West, and Roy Hibbert are all gone, as is C.J. Watson. But C.J. Miles, Rodney Stuckey, Monte Ellis, Miles Turner, as we mentioned, all joining the team. And they traded Rudez to Minnesota for Chase Buttinger. So, I mean, really some wholesale changes to this team. But still, at this point, a lot of question marks on that front line. And here's the interesting thing to me, and this has been, a little bit poo-pooed for my taste. There's a lot of talk about Paul George at the four position. And I know a number is a number, and there's a lot of different things that happen during a game. But he don't make the decisions around here is Orange County native Larry Bird's quote about Paul George's maybe saying he's not going to play the four all that much, really. Look, I'm sure they seem to me like they're on better terms than fighting in the media. But when one guy's saying, I'm going to play 2 minutes a game probably, and the other guy's saying, we're going to stick him there no matter what he has to say, that's not really what I want right now with my star and my GM or president.
Oh, it's much to do about nothing. That's just Larry being Larry. Paul George also said, I'm a ball player. I'll do what I got to do. It's just Larry's like, that's more Larry telling the reporters, I run the show, not Paul. I don't think there's any problem with him and Paul. And I really think Frank Vogel will have the final say. I would imagine in today's game, everybody is getting upset because they're worried about him guarding fours, mm-hmm. not playing the four. It's guarding the fours. Right. There are some,
especially
bruisers.
Coming off a leg injury.
Yeah, he's had a gruesome leg injury, yeah. And you've got some fours. Joakim Noah, a couple of other guys that will just take you down and beat you up, and depending on the style you know, that the Pacers play and whoever they're playing. There's so many people going to what I call small ball, even in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's already, we've seen it in college.
Yeah.
Except for the Kentucky team and, you know, it, also Wisconsin last year was a fairly mm-hmm. good size front line. You know,
but not many.
Not many. National champion Duke sure wasn't. They had one guy. Plumlee, if you count him as two, that were over 6'10". Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things. If they are going to run up and down the floor and play a different style, Paul can play probably all five positions if he needed to. I think the bad – and anybody that pays attention at all heard today, you know, or yesterday's press conference, everything predicated – The major change was really made when David West decided he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big surprise to everybody, I think.
Because he could have played the five in a small lineup mm-hmm. and still stepped out and shot his jump shots, and that puts Paul and there's 2 6-9 guys underneath and then whatever the wings were work out to be. So, I mean, that was a little different. And so, in the meantime, I like the Jordan Hill pickup as a free agent
yep.
from the Lakers.
And
now,
I left that out initially. But, I mean, that's crucial right now. With Miles Turner, who has had a nice summer league and looks like a nice player, but he's 19. He's not the biggest guy in the world. He played 20 minutes a game at Texas as one of the top five recruits coming in and didn't put up amazing numbers as that recruit. I think there's enough there to really have to cool your jets a bit initially on Miles Turner.
Yeah. Summer league play, of course, you know, we only had two guys on that team that's going to play. With the Pacers, mm-hmm. and Joe Young signed, I believe, today, too. Mm-hmm. 2-year option, and the third year is a team option, or maybe it was yesterday. I love that kid. Now, yes, he's a 6'2 or 3 guard, but he's not scared. He's not scared of the moment. I argued with Glass, that's a second round pick. He's not going to do anything. I said, I've watched this guy play 3 times, and he is not afraid. Give me the ball, I'll make the shot. I love people like that. He's just got a confidence about him. His dad was a tremendous player with old Phi Slamma-Jamma. Michael Young played with Elijah Wan and Drexler and all those guys at Houston and never just could quite get it together in the pros as a 6'6", you know, a tweener, jump shooter at small forward and not quick enough to play guard. Son's going to be a good ball player off the bench. But I like Jordan Hill. He may end up starting. He's just a high-energy guy, and he'll run. He can step out and hit that elbow jumper just like David West could. Mm-hmm. He's going to be doing a lot of that. He can run, and a lot of it he'll just get his own. I don't see him running any plays for him.
Right.
He's going to get his own.
No, there's enough scorers on this team. I mean, that's what this thing has. It's a little like you, IU, we were talking off the air in that regards. You know, you need some guys doing some dirty work underneath. And it'd be nice if they can hit a couple shots. And Jordan Hill averaged, 12 points this year? So, I mean, he's shown that he's got some offensive abilities there. You don't need a guy to come in and take 20 shots a night at those spots for this team.
Yeah, and the thing, the dirty work, you've got Jan Mahimi will do the dirty work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got Hill that'll do the dirty work. A guy that I'm not high on or not disappointed in, but Solomon Hill. There's he will do the dirty work. Yeah. But he's 6'8".
That's crucial for Solomon.
This is his third year coming up, and it's time to fish or cut bait for him.
And LaVoy Allen's in the mix.
You've
got some bodies
Love
there.
Love him. And after watching Turner play a little bit in the summer, and again, it's summer league, you know, some of these guys aren't going to be playing. He took over some games. He rebounded. He scored, and so I mean that's what you want to see out of your number one draft choice in the summer league games. We'll see how he does this weekend. Also, let's see if he continues to progress. But a lot of questions. Except your wing players, you've got wings, you've got guards that can move up and down the floor and implement this new style. Once again, I will defend George Hill that this style is what he has made. To play.
I think this will be better for him. I mean, look, George Hill has been asked to do, I think, a lot, way too much for what his game really is. You know, the money when he came in was high at the time. Right now, it's not. I mean, it's not. You know, it's a little bit closer, I think, right now than it was then to the reality of the situation. He's not a game-controlling point guard. He is not a dead-eye shooter, but he's a good shooter. He's good. He's a good ball handler. He's a decent defender.
Good free throw shooter.
He's a good free throw shooter. He can get to the line, or you know, get into the lane and get to the bucket. He can do a lot of things. The problem is he's not necessarily stellar at any of them to make you go, oh wow, that guy is this. But he's great to have on your team, and I always contended he was probably a best third guard for a really good team. So to me, to have the backcourt that you're looking at now with a Stuckey and a Miles can even swing back there. Paul George could play the two if you really needed him to. Monte Ellis adds into this. The backcourt to this team looks really, really nice. Is it good enough in the East, at least, to be top four, top five, I think becomes the question, because this is a major turnover, losing some significant pieces.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting part is, do we have enough up front? Chase Buttinger. Now, here's the thing about him, the difference. Rudesh was a 6'10 jump shooter, not a particularly good rebounder. Mm-hmm. Buttinger, 6'8. If he can stay healthy, almost as good a long-range shooter. More athletic, can put the ball on the floor and drive. Not a big rebounder. But it's just going to be some more athleticism out there to where Rudesh, number one, couldn't play defense, couldn't put the ball on the floor. Did get you a rebound occasionally, but his specialty was spotting up for a three.
Yeah.
And Buttinger can do that too. But his main thing right now, if he wants to get some minutes, number one, he better stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because at this point,
the last couple of years he's been banged up.
And he's a tremendous athlete.
That's been a meniscus, oddly enough.
Well,
since we're talking about meniscus.
There you go.
How's your meniscus, by the way?
I think they're both okay. That's right good. Now, everything operates pretty well on me at this stage for someone with a birthday next week.
3332665. Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
We won't ask you how old you are. We don't
Please
do that
don't.
On the
I'm
show.
I'm going to lie anyway.
I just noticed real quickly, we've got three Hills on this team. All right, little oddity there. But Chase Buttinger, to me, is brought in for one reason in particular. I bring up Hill. It's to make Solomon Hill irrelevant. I mean, let's be fair about that.
Maybe right.
For 2 years, he's been absolutely nothing for this team. He's a first-round draft pick. I mean, it was mid-round, so, I mean,
right.
You don't expect him to kill right away. But he's got to come along at some point. I mean, 24, it's early, sure, but it's 6'7", 225. He's almost identical to Chase Buttinger in his size. They both come from Arizona. Buttinger's been productive, and that's the difference. And, you know, we can't wait around anymore for Solomon Hill to get it. He better get it quick or, you know, I hate to say he's going to be out of this league quickly, but that's the way it works.
Yeah, he got his chances last year. A tremendous defensive player. He's never been much. He was a much better offensive player at Arizona than he's shown with us. But, you know, this is I kind of agree. This is a make or break year for him. And I don't think that Larry Legend's done yet as far as maybe getting another player or two. But we're really close to just about getting this roster set. Probably Whittington's going to re-sign. You know, he's 6'10 or 6'11, and he'll work in there. Don't know that he can really help us. But, you know, at this stage, we got three or four guys that are 6'10 or better, and Mahimi being a little taller. We'll see. In the East, it may be enough. I kind of looking right now and the other teams, with some that's going to move out, some that's going to move up and down. A couple you're not quite sure what they're going to get. The Pacers anywhere – 4 through 7, I could see them right now, either any way, just mm-hmm. depending. You know, somebody always has injuries. I mean, Derrick Rose finally played a full season without missing a tremendous amount of games. What happens if he goes down again for Chicago?
Well, the nice thing here, though, too, is you've got a relatively young team.
Yes.
I mean, this is made up of a bunch of 23 to 28-year-olds for the most part. You got a couple guys that get just above that, but they're really kind of all in that mix. Of that side of things, the question becomes two things. I mean, there's so much turnover. Chemistry has to be an issue with this team, especially when you lose a David West, who, you know, who was the undisputed leader in that locker room. You hope George Hill can step into that. I think you think George Hill can. He seems like a quiet guy, but I think he's a lead by example guy. Paul George, ultimately, as the star, has got to be the guy that brings people along as opposed to kind of follows a David West under his wing a little bit. But that's got to be your first question. And, of course, the next one, I know you've got bodies that all say 6'10 or bigger. But you still have to watch that inside and see what you got, because Jordan Hill had a career year last year. This is not a guy that walked in the door, you know, and wows you all the time. So you got to watch him. Miles Turner, again, walked in as a top five recruit and didn't wow necessarily at Texas. Had nice games, good player. Don't get me wrong. But all of that does not walk into the NBA and say, we've got a big time inside. To me,
no.
you've got huge question marks on the inside.
Well, we have no rim protector now. I mean, Mahimi is, you know, for all of Roy's foibles and problems mentally and physically, when he was right, he protected the rim.
Oh, absolutely.
And we don't have that. So at this point, we do need to move up and down the floor, maybe even to the point of picking some people up a little, not full court, but three-quarter or half-court, and just making them work some clock themselves so they don't have so much time down on the other end. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I do lament the loss of Luis Scola. I loved him. He can run the floor. He didn't get as good a deal at Toronto as I think he could have gotten
here.
Yeah,
that one surprises me a little bit.
And that shocked me that for whatever reason, Toronto's a more metropolitan city.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a beautiful city. He may have just thought, hey, maybe he's got ties up there. I don't know. I hated seeing him go because, especially with the loss of David West, this is a guy that could get up and down the floor. He can shoot from outside. He can drive the ball. He's dirty work with an offensive game, and you don't see that a lot. But he is 34, probably.
Yeah,
and 35, he's getting up there.
I would take him with this team. I don't know that I would have expected him to be any kind of huge leader in the locker room.
No, he
was a great second team guy. He certainly could have easily been your four. To start games, there's no question about that. He was that good. He was a starter in Houston before he came up there. Before we hit a break, let me ask you about Monte Ellis.
I mean, you must have been reading my mind.
Score, 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 and scores again a little bit more. Are there enough basketballs to go around when you see Stuckey and Miles and Ellis and George and eventually here maybe Miles Turner? Are there enough basketballs out there?
I think so. And let's put it this way. If we have the Monte Ellis that's played for Rick Carlisle in Dallas the last 2 years, it'll be tremendous because he'll find the open guy. He will break some people down. I mean, he's still quick enough to get around a lot of guards. The thing I like about him is he can get his shot against about anybody out there. And the only other pacer that I think I can say that about right now is probably Paul George. If he operates against a three, he's just taller. If he operates against a four, he can go around him. You may throw, and keeping Rodney Stuckey was major.
Yeah, I think so.
So he might be another one off the bench that can score on just about any guard because he's 6'5", and he's very strong. He's built like Oscar Robertson. There, I'm dating myself, but Oscar Robertson was so powerful and yet so quick. But I love Ellis, and he's the type of guy that it's just we get down a clutch situation rather than looking for anybody else to score with a guard with his ball in his hands. He's another one. He's not afraid. He'll take the shot because he thinks he's going to hit every shot he takes.
Well, he came.
He can.
He took the offer here, obviously. He liked what Larry had to say to him. Part of the question has always been, can Monte share the ball? And that has always been the question.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the undisputed number two. I mean, there's no question anybody coming here is behind Paul George. How does he accept that becomes a question.
I think it'll be fine. Like I said, if he had Dirk Nowitzki down there,
the
undisputed number one, and a couple other guys, he really was good at distributing the ball and seemed to make good decisions when to shoot and when not to in the last 2 years. I mean, Dallas is just – they've just not had enough players around him and Dirk to do what they needed to do. They couldn't score. I mean, him and Dirk were about it on that squad.
Got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk about the All-Star Weekend. A lot of festivities last night and Monday in particular. Fun home run derby for the first time, I think, maybe in a while. We'll talk about that when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick reminder, Reds baseball picks back up here on WGCL Friday night. We'll have them Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock both nights as the Cleveland Indians are in town. A lot of cleanup to do, I imagine, over there at the Great American Ballpark as the festivities. The All-Star festivities were in Cincinnati this weekend. Looked great on television. Haven't heard a bad word from anyone. Kind of surprising, a lot of the national writers finally getting in there. Had nothing but good things to say about Great American Ballpark. So that's awfully nice to hear about the Red Legs. Let's talk about Monday night in particular, because the Home Run Derby is usually everybody getting mad at Chris Berman for being obnoxious. But, I mean, everything about that seemed different. They switched up on ESPN, so you had different sets of people doing the actual calls, so that eliminated some of the Berman nuts-o-ness. But at the same time, I mean, really, it was the format in particular. And while they seated everybody and put them in kind of match play head-to-head, really, to me, it was more about the timing. Instead of getting 10 outs, you got the 4 minutes and then maybe some bonus time. But those guys were up there, and they were pop, 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 getting that ball and getting it up in the air.
And wasn't every one of the match plays decided by only one home run? I thought I read that or heard that somewhere.
You know, I did not notice that.
I will tell you, I believe that's correct. And what I very just saw spots of it. And then, of course, you text me Monday night because my boy, Jock Peterson, of the Dodgers, who's going to be he's going to be up there hopefully with Harper and Trout before long. But he's it just everything while I was what the little parts I watched and just the listening and reading of everything that went happened, just what a turnaround and how exciting everybody thought it was. What a home run. Ha, no pun intended. I think they found something to juice this up a little bit. And this sounds like this might work for a few years because I got to admit, the old one was getting a little stale.
Yeah.
And it was because it was getting stale, it made Berman even more stale.
Yes.
And, well, clearly. and everything they did Monday night seemed to work. Different people talking. The format of head on head against each other instead of just everybody going out and how many can you hit. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, I'll tell you what was neat about it is, you know, I was trying to think of other other sports you could compare what you saw, because a lot of what you saw about the guys or from the guys that kind of continued forward throughout the competition was because of the timing and because there were less pitches that were taken, because that's what you used to see with the 10 outs. You'd take two pitches and then you'd swing at one, and then you take two pitches and you'd swing at one. Because of the timing, they had to hit swing. And so they got into some rhythms where you'd go 4, 5, 6 at a time. It reminded me a little bit, best I can say is, you know, looking at Steph Curry and he goes down the floor 4 times in a row shooting 3-pointers, out of his rear end with his back to the basket kind of stuff. That's what it looked like, though. I mean, some of these guys, they get on a roll, that thing just starts flying out of the park in a heartbeat.
And you would be surprised that the people pitching can get themselves in a rhythm just as fast if the ball keeps getting hit, because then they know where I just pitched, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's boom, boom. And so I like it. It's always good to tweak something, just to realize that what's going on is getting dull or failing. And to make a change for Major League Baseball to do that, which they never do, that was smart. I like that.
Well, and let's give some credit to where credit is due, and not just because we're an affiliate. Cincinnati's always been a great baseball town, but it always gets second fiddle to a place like St. Louis, in the national views here. But it is a great baseball town. First League team was in Cincinnati. It's had some phenomenal teams over the years. It's a little bit smaller market now considered money-wise, but it's back in the running the last several years. It certainly helps to have the Todd father end up winning the thing and being at least in competition, Todd Frazier.
Yes.
But really, the whole thing was, usually the All-Star game is embraced by the home crowd. I mean, I want to be fair about that. But I thought the Cincinnati crowds were just phenomenal all weekend long. I mean, they were over the top to me.
Well, I had more than 43,000 for the Futures game.
Yeah.
Our own Kyle Schwarber is MVP. Mm-hmm. We haven't got there yet, and few were going to get there. But and then another sellout. Yeah, tremendous. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's one I've not been to yet. Why, I don't know. I've seen Crosley, been to Riverfront many, many, many times. Can't wait to go down there. But look good on television.
Mm-hmm.
The crowds were great. And, especially when you have it was an all-star starter. When you've got a couple of local guys in there that they're playing a lot. I mean, just imagine what it would have been if that was held at Kansas City this year.
Right.
With all their starters and players in there. So, yeah, great job, Cincinnati. Wonderful whoever changed the home runs for Monday night. And last night, kind of a yawner game at 6-3. I mean, it was all right. I didn't like it, the fact that my Dodgers gave up all the runs to start with.
Right.
And
Especially first at bat.
The first three runs were all scored by Angels and scored against Dodger pitching. So that's not good. But, no, good game. I'm still kind of torn. I'm not sure that I like the All-Star game deciding who hosts the World Series. That's just...
Does it give you any more juice? I mean, do you pay more attention because of it? Because you're right. It still had a feel of an exhibition last night. And we'll talk about the roster here in a minute. But it didn't feel to me, watching it, like there was that much more juice in the play because of that.
I don't know. It just because some managers a few years ago, and Bud got involved when he shouldn't have, and some guys didn't, in their hurriedness to get everybody in, they screwed themselves, and when it went into extra innings. You know, I don't care if everybody plays. I don't care if every team's represented. There's a couple of teams right now that don't deserve to have All-Stars out there.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but...
I think it's good to have them, especially in baseball. I mean, it's so much inclusion. It really is. You know, you want all of them involved. You play so many games. You know, to me, I think it's good to keep everybody involved.
Yeah. Well, they still, I don't like it, and I'm sure St. Louis Cardinal fans, our buddy Spiro and Sean down at Yogi's and a few other people are going to lament the fact that St. Louis will probably have the best record in baseball by far, and they're not going to host the World Series.
Yeah.
The final game, so I'm not really sure. I mean, we'll that's in the same debate as should the National League go ahead and have the DH and let them both have DHs. So, being a little old school, maybe my opinions are a little different than somebody else's that way.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. 333-2665, as you mentioned, the AL wins, so they will host the World Series, or at least home field advantage, I should say, in the World Series. We talked about this. I asked Glass on Monday, and the last couple times this has come up under this scenario, the road team has won Game 7.
Yes, that's
so
true.
You know, the whole question, I mean, yes, it determines something, and there isn't supposed to be an advantage to that, but the last couple times it's played out, hasn't been much of an advantage.
Hasn't really made any difference so far. So we'll see. I suppose it could lend a little juice, but... at this point, I think just I love the crowd from Cincinnati. And like I said, you had one of your guys win. Him winning the home run derby just got him even more juiced up for Tuesday night. So tremendous crowd. Looked like it was going to be a good game until Kershaw came in there and let him kind of open it up a little bit. And we'll see.
I want to talk about the roster because this has been happening for a couple years now where you saw some of the older players, some of the big stars start fading off of this team. You know, you got a guy like Derek Jeter retires, Alex Rodriguez does not make the team this year. Possibly could.
Should have.
Probably could, but did not. You know, you didn't have a lot of the old vets out there. I mean, Albert Pujols was lauded this year by getting back there. But really, I mean, this you see a lot of turnover, and what's nice about it is a lot of really young talent on this team. And, you know, the Home Run Derby in particular was the first example of that. But really, all night last night, the theme becomes guys that are young, up-and-coming potential stars and guys that can hit the heck out of the ball, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Mike Trout may be the best all-around player in the game right now. Five tools, can do everything. Bryce Harper, a close second because he's healthy. Then you've got just a ton of guys. I mean, Rizzo and Bryant for the Cubs. You got the Kane kid from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. What an outfielder and a hitter. I mean, he can do about anything. And I'm going to, without the roster right in front of me, I'm obviously going to miss some names here, but that stuck out to me, too. I mean, like, where Yadier Molina behind the plate for the National League pretty much was their grizzled veteran. I'm just thinking, I mean, you look at...
There weren't a lot.
There really weren't a lot. I mean, of course, and then Pujols for the American League, and I think of them, and I'm thinking, well, Andrew McCutchen of Pittsburgh is now been probably in three or four All-Star games. Still a young man, tremendous player. Again, one of the best. But yeah, it was fun to see some of the young guys, and of course, some of the guys that on the teams that I follow, you recognize them. But again, I mentioned Jock Peterson just because this guy is going to be unbelievable with what he can do once he figures out how to stay disciplined at the plate with his power he already has. Watching Trout. I didn't realize, I mean, Trout 6'2", can run like he can.
Yeah.
So much fun to watch. I'd say baseball's in a pretty good spot right now. with the talent they have. And there's some tremendous young pitchers, too, a ton of them. But when you sit there, somebody that's been watching baseball for a long, long, long time, it's amazing that I go through some of these teams and the rosters yesterday, and I didn't know a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Never watched them play.
I agree. But, I mean, again, there's some exciting guys out there, but there just aren't a lot of the old grizzled vets. I mean, Prince Fielder and Miguel Cabrera, they've been around for a long time and been producing for a long time. But even those guys aren't, you know, we're not talking 36 years old here. Albert Pujols, obviously, kind of the old guy on the roster. But, no, it's a turnover, and it's been happening the last couple of years. But, it's important, I think, for baseball for this to happen, because you've lost a lot of those stars and now you got to develop some new ones, and it's nice to see some of these guys stepping into those spots.
Hey, yes, definitely. So far, so good.
And nowadays the sports are so much about the stars.
Yeah. And you've still got some good ones. I mean, Buster Posey's still fairly young, an excellent catcher. It was fun to watch. And again, some of these young guys are going to be stars of tomorrow.
Yep. So a lot of fun for Cincinnati and for Major League Baseball, and now that's in the books. Again, we'll have the Reds back on Friday night, 7 o'clock, to face the Cleveland Indians. We got to take another quick break. When we get back, they're going to start teeing off about 1:30 in the morning, so I'm sure all of you will be up and listening and watching whatever you can. The Open Championship, we'll talk about our thoughts on that in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. They're teeing off early in the morning U.S. time. It's early in the morning Scotland time, even. 6:30 a.m. are the first tee times for the British Open this weekend, the Open Championship, as they call it over there. Of course, Northern Scotland, St. Andrews, the old course where golf was founded. Last time, it was Louis Oosthuizen that won at the old course. The two times before that, it was Tiger Woods. John Daly won his British Open there. Seve Ballesteros, Nick Faldo, Jack Nicklaus, these are your recent winners at the old course. So helps to have a big name or be a big name.
Seems to.
In the game, there's no question. Look, it's the British Open, so it comes down to weather. They're saying right now, as much as you can predict the weather in Scotland, they're saying Friday afternoon looks like it's going to be a little ugly and a lot of wind. But right now, that's the only bad weather they are predicting. But that's the thing. You just don't know. The question becomes, who can deal with it? To me, mentally is what it comes down to, because a lot of guys have the physical game to pound it around the course and dig out of the wispy stuff on the sideline. The question is, can you deal with the fact that every once in a while it's going to end up in a bunker when you didn't mean it to, because it rolled 800 yards on the ground and hit a bump the wrong way?
Yeah, that's a great point. And as well as Jordan Spieth is playing right now, the conditions, I mean, of course he looked great in the U.S. Open on a pretty much that type of links course, but nothing's like playing over there. So we'll see. I really do not look for him to win this major.
Can he keep that? It's a role. I mean, it's a role like we were talking with the home run hitters. But man, I mean, you can't just keep winning these golf tournaments. The
again,
big ones.
Yeah, and like you said, it may end up being a weather. It may be a weather day that kills him. Like the one year Rory was up at the top and pounded out an 80 and never could survive it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I mean, I like some more people and it's his first time playing over there. Now it's a lot of pressure because everything's all directed at him winning the slam.
Yep.
And, he's only worried about trying to win another golf tournament, whether it's a major or not. That's all he has in front of him is winning this golf tournament, which just happens to be a major. I just keep thinking Justin Rose.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that all day, figuring that we would touch on this a little since our brethren, by the way, if you see a stray boat out of Lake Monroe,
rescue them.
Well, I'll tell you what, they're not armed, but they're dangerous. I think Justin Rose, someone with experience, hometown type of person, he's from there.
Yeah.
Be great for him. As much as I dislike Adam Scott, I always think that this is, he should have won one there a few years ago.
Yep.
Not at that particular course, but the British Open. A guy that's been around, but yet still young. Obviously, if Rory were healthy, he would be one of the favorites up there. And I will probably think long and hard on this again tomorrow. And a guy that may, who had been in the final group before, it might have been with Oosthuizen, and it was Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
And to try to make up for really blowing the chance to win the U.S. Open, I think he'll bounce back strongly too. And he's played overseas several. He's played over there enough years in the British Open that certain conditions won't bother him, I think, as much.
He's just kind of dense enough to me
to
make a bad choice in a big spot like he did at the PGA a few years ago, where he ground the club in the bunker and end up taking a penalty because of it. But he's also, because of that, it seems to me, the kind of guy who's going to get back in that spot because he's going to let it roll off his back a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't treat the the U.S. Open correctly by kind of bailing out of there before the ceremony. He did finish second, so, he's there to at least, have to go through that and go through some of the press stuff. But he's been in this position several times, and he's also screwed up several times. It makes you think, at the very least, he's probably still going to end up back near that position again. He tends to be there, and talent-wise, he's certainly got it.
I would agree. I would think so. And you notice everybody we've mentioned are kind of some of the top-ranked players. I don't see somebody come out of nowhere like the older one a couple years ago that won and come out of nowhere, and I'm drawing a blank, but it was just, I just don't see that kind of thing happening, especially if they have, if they only had one bad day of weather, somebody could probably withstand that, but it just seems like one of the older, more experienced guys, as far as that goes, it's at the top of the world rankings right now, is going to have their best chances.
Tiger have a chance?
Of course. It tends to me to see that he's kind of getting a little ticked off at people just kicking dirt on him.
Doesn't matter much until you're doing something about it.
No, he's got to do something about it. He's won twice over there. He likes the old course. Played really well his last time out. No, I don't think so. But if he's in the top 10 on the last day, it would not surprise me.
Guy who's been in the mix a few times here recently is Sergio Garcia.
Yes.
He's been up there.
He's a crybaby. He won't be able to get through the bad weather day.
That's fine. We'll see. Maybe he'll bring his raincoat and be okay with it.
Good.
Hey, folks, we got to head on out of here. Terry and Glass will be with you all next week, so take care of them and tune in Monday for that. Again, Reds baseball Friday and Saturday nights, 7 o'clock, so be sure to be here for that also. And we'll talk to you later. You've been in the zone.